feels super hot. Like cloud hot.
Oh.
My left?
No, you're fine.
Am I fine? Okay. I miss Adam being here today because I feel like he had sent me a text a couple days ago, and it was kind of, we both share this common irritation with the news and politics. But we have opinions, and and Eric's got opinions, Angel's got opinions, and you all do. And I'm not foolish enough to believe that we all share the same opinions. Get it? Yay us. But I don't like watching the news, and I'm watching different things happening. It's like, it just seems vicious.
Yes.
It seems angry. And I'm not saying who, I'm not even talking about a subject yet. Yeah. It's just like, the press seems so radically divisive, like feeding into the viciousness.
Yes.
And pick your news people, because they're feeding into one side or the other. So I'm not taking sides necessarily, just saying, it's like, I told Eric this morning, I've had two things on my heart. It's like, who's our enemy? Let that sit for a second. Because the other side of the coin is, well, who's my neighbor? So then it got me pondering. Does being a Christian and following Jesus, is that the same thing?
Sure.
No,
not necessarily.
You can let that hang out there for just a little bit in your thinker. I would have told you I would have told you, of course. No, I'm in the not so sure. Mm-hmm. No, I'm in the no.
You mean a Christian because we go to church? That kind of, or we leave? No, I thought they were one.
But yeah, well, let's just chew on that for a second then together. Because, you know, this thought about taking up our cross daily, which Scripture tells us. Because there's this, again, thinking back to my sozo moment. Blowing up the box, you know, about me trying to box him in. This thing about me boxing him in, what was I managing? My fear.
Mm-hmm. Unknown.
Right? So the unknown and mystery was outside my box. So I could, like, by keeping God in this zone, I have to deal with that. So, by doing that, there's a lot of inconvenient, there's a lot of disruption that's sitting outside my box that I'm choosing not to have any part of, that God's actually got there to help me grow. But because I made my box so small, I'm not going to step. This is like my exercise for the day, and I'm going to. So I've got this thing of, right? I understand this, the finished work of the cross, but do I understand what other-centered love looks like?
I'm sorry, what?
What other-centered love looks like instead of self-interest and fear, right? Because the truth is, you can build a life that and your best muscle manages that, right? I'll just avoid those things. I'll avoid those subjects. I'll avoid those people. I'll avoid those situations. Here's one about this thought of, you know, is being a Christian and following Jesus the same? It was one of my challenges on one of my early treks up to Bethel when I'm trying to break down my box because I'm probably slightly tormented. That knowing there's more and I can't figure out how do I get to it because my box is
reinforced.
My community's stopping me from figuring it out. So I get up to this thing about praying for the sick. Because he says that we're commanded to pray for the sick. And lo and behold, they're seeing people healed when they pray. What was my experience? I didn't pray for the sick. Mm-hmm. I don't have to deal with that. Mm-hmm. So I didn't have to kind of resolve, does God heal today? I just didn't pray for him, mm-hmm. right? So, wait, I'm uber believer, right? I'm uber Christian. This is Danny, I've got it together. And all of a sudden, one of what I would call the basic, you know, from the Lord, a basic, and a baton passed to me was pray for the sick. And I'm not doing it. Mm. So maybe I could say, okay, am I following Jesus? Mm. Hmm. Just let it sit up there, right? Right. So I didn't say I didn't believe in Jesus.
Right.
I didn't say I didn't wasn't serving Jesus. I was absolutely, I mean, I was in, as best I thought, I was in love and committed and I guess disciplined and run Bible studies and classes and church. If there was a thing going on at church, I was down there. I mean, I'm serving, I'm loving, I'm worshiping him. So there's no doubt I'm a believer, right? Mm. But then I'm confronted with things like, again, just that basic one, praying for the sick. I'm thinking, uh-oh. It is confrontational. It's like, what do I do with that? And so it made me wonder, how are we doing with following Jesus? Right? Because if my goal is to look like him, my goal is to sound like him. My goal is, in every situation, I'm representing him well, good. How am I doing on that? Instead, I think sometimes we have arguments, mm-hmm. and we rationalize. It's okay to hold on to this unforgiveness because that person, that community there fell in the blank. Or it's okay to stay angry. How about this one in the church? It's okay to break off relationship because their opinion's different than my opinion. That opinion challenges me, so it's easier to not do it. In fact, I might even start talking bad about them, so everybody knows I don't have to do that thing. I'm just restructuring my box at this point. Okay. How about dealing with injustice? We were just starting to sneak into this conversation, Eric and I, this morning. You know, it's like, how am I dealing with injustice when it doesn't line up with my political interest? Mm. And by the way, I didn't say Republican or Democrat because each side's going to answer that one different, huh? Or how do we justify ourselves to take advantage of another person, another human being? How about another nation? Right? Because it suits my interest. Yeah, let's let it sit here for a second. You don't have to answer it all. Right? Because now you get to this thing, okay, following Jesus has real world implications.
It does. It does.
Right? And I'm sorry, but you can just turn on the news, pick your political side, There's strife, there's controversy, there's fighting going on. And just here, the polarization in the U.S. is like ridiculous, right? And it is easy to get caught up in the us versus them.
It scares me because I think this way, but I keep hearing a house divided cannot stand. And we have to bring that together. Like you said, you can have differences of opinion, but you don't have to sling mud.
So you could look back at the administration before and say, I felt smacked around. Yeah. But as long as we're the ones smacking around now, that's okay, right? So you get these just emotional kind of like things that we get caught in, and their fear, they're driven by fear. They're in some cases retribution. But these are my people and they're affecting the people that I love. Now we get back to that, well, who's my enemy, who's my neighbor question, right? We'll set an anchor point on this one. You're absolutely right. It is all about the people we love.
Wait.
Now,
back up
the question
5 seconds
is,
and say that.
Right? We think we're defending the people we love. My people are hurt, therefore. So we act out. This issue of retribution or whatever. There's this people group, there's this big group, there's this dynamic, there's this slice of the community here. It's like, it gets me down to, wait a second, how are we doing on, as Jesus followers, we say that's the path we want. I want to be a Jesus follower. I want to line up, identify, sound like, look like, act like, be like, love like, right? Who are the people we love? Right? So then we get down to, okay, there was a, let's call him an expert, because sort of how he was described in scripture in the book of Luke. He was a man who knew the law, knew the right answers. And so Jesus has this confrontation with him to answer this dilemma about who's your neighbor, right? So Luke chapter 10, verse 25. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law? He replied. How do you read it? And he answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind. And
love your neighbor as yourself.
Love your neighbor as yourself. By the way, I thought it's interesting that Jesus had him answer his own question. Because you're like, well, yeah, that's right. Why? Why is this? Because it's this, by the way, it's the same sort of like internal thing since Cain kills Abel. Remember that? What was the, am I my brother's keeper? Remember that one? Right. You could say we've been trying to wiggle out of it for a long time. Right? And so, we start to create, what's the word, doctrines, practices that defend, right, but we create a justification for, but this response is good because that guy needed to get some out of it, and here's why, right? Right, because verse 29 tells us, but he wanted to justify himself. But Jesus is like, not so fast, right? Doesn't let him wiggle out of it. So Jesus, this is where Jesus introduces a parable of the Good Samaritan. right? Luke chapter 10, 30 to 35 is the Good Samaritan story. And you know it. But when Jesus is all done with the story, he asks the legalist, the guy with all the answers, in verse 36, which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus said, go and do likewise.
Go thou and do likewise.
So we're back to current events.
Mm.
Okay.
We have to be.
Yeah.
That's pretty current right there.
Because you can sit here, oh my goodness, pick your stream. The black BLM-ish restorative justice kind of things. It's like, you're like, what? You know, it's like, by the way, I'm not answering those questions. I'm just saying it's real. There's hurt people. There are people that feel victimized. There are people that feel, right? It wasn't, do you agree that they're victimized?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus never says that.
Mm-hmm. Right? Say that again. It's not.
You don't have to agree with whether they
believe.
You agree that they're a victim. You know, it's like, the issue is like, we're called to compassion.
Mm-hmm.
We're called to understanding. How are we doing on our compassion and understanding? Right?
You said, do they feel victimized, not do I agree that they...
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Right.
Right. Do I feel like I have to... I don't have... My compassion doesn't start when I go, okay,
I
agree with you, compassion comes.
Right.
It's like God says, show mercy. Not when you agree with them, show mercy.
Because the Samaritans and the Israelites
didn't agree. Go ahead.
Forgiveness isn't determined by whether they deserve forgiveness. It's whether I need to give forgiveness.
Yeah.
So mercy is not whether they need it or not, is I need to be able to give it.
But they were, you know, they're angry people. They're bombing things. We have to deal with that. They're breaking things. That start there. They're just saying, you know, the issue of how we're doing with following Jesus when he said, go have mercy. He said, go do that. It wasn't a political statement. It wasn't a religion. It wasn't get into their religion. It wasn't when we find common ground, right?
It was political, though. And it was all of those things. It did have real world, like you were saying, it has real world ramifications, what you believe.
Yes.
Kind of threatening, isn't it?
Yeah, no kidding. It is, right?
Well, and you know, we have no control of who's bombing who. All we can know, we don't. I know we vote, but that's not the point.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to say, Jesus, you're there. You're there, you're there, because I can't do anything about it. That's me. I mean, that's my personality, but I can't do anything about it. This is the only thing I can do about it.
Yeah, I mean, look at the Israel-Palestine conflict. We're Christians. We all agree. We all line up with Israel, right? That's supposed to be the right answer, right? And somewhere in the midst of that, you forget there are stories on the other side of hurt, right? It's not a, I'm a all Israel, I'm an anti-Palestine. It's like, in the middle of this, right? By the way, this stuff in the Middle East has been going on for centuries. And, it's so much deeper than the sound bites on TV. Okay? It's so much, I don't care what news channel you've got, it's deeper. It's been going on for centuries, and the thought that I'm gonna get it by a picture or somebody saying, tugging on his heartstring here or there, I'm not gonna get it. It's gonna be hard. There was this YouTube clip, and I was probably on a squirrel change to looking after this. And so there was this guy, he's a Christian Palestinian. His name was I think it's pronounced Sami Awad, I don't know, but Christian Palestinian. And he lives in Bethlehem. And, it, you know, it was a clip, short thing, but just a couple things, and I probably just got close to how he said it. But, because he shares what's needed here is just love.
Is that what he said?
Yeah. And he said, when you love somebody, you create a new oneness, a new unity with them, where there's no other, actually.
Oh, my goodness.
I like that.
You know, the first thing I thought was out of the mouth of babes, and that's the way we're supposed to be.
Accept. He goes on to say, I believe the teachings of Jesus have the answers that the world's looking for. We're just called out to live them. Huh. We're not called to just make peace. We're called to create a beloved community of all the peoples of this land. Okay. Jesus is going.
You got it. Don't do that.
Jesus is agreeing with that, right? He didn't say go live in peace with our adversaries. He said love them.
Yeah.
Oh, this is just reflective thought today. Matthew 5:43 says this about that statement. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. That's a whole other sermon right there. Mm-hmm. Because he's not perfect, it's not talking about, well, it's not. I don't think that means what you think it means.
Right.
In my famous, in the Princess Bride.
In the parable of the Good Samaritan, both sides of the issue are victims. The Jewish man is a victim of the thieves, and the Samaritan is a victim of the Jews. They're both victims, and they're both suffering because of their victim. The Samaritans are rejected by the Jews because, and this man that was a Jewish was beat up because he had something they wanted. And then he's rejected by his own people. So there's all sorts of victims in this story, and maybe the oldest living victim, he was the one that was the kindest person in the bunch.
The Samaritan?
The Samaritan.
Yes.
The Samaritan. He was the kind, and the people who should have known better were the most hateful, maybe. They were even more hateful than the people that beat him up. They avoided him. They avoided doing what was right.
Yeah.
The victim didn't have a lot of choice because he was beat up and left for dead. And the Samaritan said, I can do something good for this guy. He needs help. He didn't measure whether he was a Jew or the Jew should have done something. It's like, I can do something, and he did it. But he's as much a victim as everybody else. Right? So it's up. I mean, we're all victims, and we can reach out of our victimhood and become a source of good.
Jesus says, "Love your enemies."
No.
And says, and pray for those who persecute you, right?
Wow.
That you may be children of your Father in heaven.
Wow.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's how we're children of our Father in heaven. So it's not, by the way, it's not passivism. That's mm-hmm. just another name or another path for indifference. Really. It's like other-centered love looks like what Jesus did. It's extending the same grace. It's extending the same love for everyone else that we would want for ourselves.
Mm.
Really, it's it. Mm. Matthew 7:12 says, therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law of the prophets. Right? So if you're wondering how we're doing on knowing God, on following Jesus, right? It's when you choose to love people that I do not agree with you. When you choose to love people that might have some pretty nasty things to say about you. Maybe they are persecuting you. Maybe they do want to cause you harm. It's like, wait a minute. Otherwise, I mean, it's like learning to love in that case. The other kind of love looks fickle, looks
mm-hmm.
conditional.
Mm-hmm.
It probably looks pretty self-centered. Which is not the love God showed us. Remember our messed up kind of, when he came and recentered us, found us in our deepest, messiest places and recentered us. So, the kind of love that hangs on a cross, kind of love, and he didn't deserve it, had nothing to do with his mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's the love that he says lives in us.
Right.
Christ in us. So, I'm gonna let it hang. just suggestion, you know, there's a group that meets, it was meeting in my suite, my office suite. It was the LGBTQ plus other letters. And one of the executives had a brown bag lunch with them just to hear and listen and we probably don't share a lot of the same opinions, but they're the kindest people. They're the most wonderful people. So now there's a thing out that says no more of that. No more of those during the work hour meetings like that. So I could have a response that says, finally.
Mm-hmm.
Or realize some of those guys are probably hurting right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's gonna happen to me? And you could have this business attitude that says, nothing is happening to you. It's like, I have no idea how your heart is right now on anything. But there are people with broken hearts all over the place,
mm-hmm.
and you have no idea what broke their heart.
Mm-hmm. That's a good word.
You have no idea. None. You don't know what pain they've been through. You
right.
don't know if
right.
a boyfriend or a girlfriend, whatever, left them and it hurt them. You don't know.
Right.
And so they're hurting. And how do you love them? I didn't say go pick it with them. I didn't, just love them. You know, it's like how can I be this person's friend today?
Mm-hmm.
How can I let them know I care today? How can I?
Mm-hmm.
So. I'm not in Gaza. I'm not in Washington, D.C. I'm in Ridgecrest. And in Ridgecrest,
you say that.
And in Ridgecrest, I'm going to encounter somebody today at Walmart. I'm going to encounter them this week. I have an opportunity to, right now, the person in front of me, what does compassion look like? How about listening? How about, oh my gosh, give them a hug. How about, I mean, just be Jesus. You don't have to be Einstein and solve big problems. You don't have to have a verse and a thing to say, do this. You don't have to preach and say, line up to this. You're just like, how about be a friend? How about, right? So I don't have all the answers, but I know it can start with being kind.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not talking about getting lost into political causes unless God puts your heart on, steers you that way. Holy Spirit takes you those places, but just, I love Heidi Baker. Love the person in front of you. That's what Jesus did. Love that person. I'm not thinking about a strategic thing in 10 years or 20 years or positioning myself to have da 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 da. But be known as the one who's gracious and kind and compassionate. And then don't be amazed when they say, what would you do? Or how could you pray for me? Or God opens up crazy doors all the time and draws connections with people that I couldn't ever draw a map to that person. All of a sudden, a door opens up. It's like God's creativity blows my mind. But the only way you're going to step into heaven's creativity is to follow Jesus, look like Jesus, right? Because if you're running around being a zealot or an angry or a smash, smash, smash kind of person, you're not listening. You're not letting Holy Spirit take you to places and confrontations and moments and encounters that are destined for you. Mm-hmm. So that's it. That's my political.
No, that's not it.
I just want to believe for encounters this week.
Right.
That there's the opportunity for the presentation of loving people, right? We ministered His love this morning and it was easy. Mm-hmm. It was fun. It was good. Well, there are a lot of people that weren't in your mind today because right? So what if we have a moment this week where we can encounter somebody that just needs love. And so with that, just invite Holy Spirit into our week to lead us. How about soften us? For the defensiveness I have, you know, anything that looks like it wants to I don't need to defend a couple. I just need to love. Mm. And I just pray that we're lovers today. I don't even know what those words are trying to get out, but it's like, help us be lovers. Help us be merciful ones. Help us be gracious ones, the way you were, just like you were to us. God, that we would just show kindness and be known as beacons of love, that others would know, I don't know what he thinks about this, but he loves. You're safe there. That's a safe place. So I just pray that we're havens of rest. Mm-hmm. We're places to come for love. We have ears that hear and listen and arms that are wide in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.